From the Denker's studio on Library Square, this is The Rundown, a live exploration of local news, current events, and issues that matter to you. Today on the program, we feature a conversation with Roger Bordnicht, co-chair of Utahns for Better Transportation, about his push for a so-called shared solution to the proposed West Davis Corridor Freeway, and about efforts to influence transportation planning in the state.
For more than 50 years, we've built our communities and our lifestyles to accommodate the automobile. I don't like to use the word, but that's not sustainable. By providing greater freedom by more choices, such as tracks, such as van pools, such as better bus service, and separated bike paths and buffered bike lanes, and certainly front runner for the longer trips, I think it's an unstoppable momentum.
That and more just ahead on The Rundown here on KCPW. And welcome back to The Rundown. Coming up, we'll feature a discussion with Roger Bordnicht, one of the co-chairs of Utahns for Better Transportation, and we'll look at the proposed West Davis Corridor freeway extension, as well as transportation planning in the state in general. But first, we have these local headlines. The Utah Department of Public Safety is using a helicopter to search for two women backpacking near Zion National Park. The Kane County Sheriff's Office says the 40 and 51-year-old women set off Thursday for the East Fork of the Virgin River and failed to reappear Sunday as planned. The National Weather Service, meanwhile, is issuing flash flood warnings for southern Utah. Zion National Park saw an inch and a half of rain on Sunday. More rain was falling Monday as the search for the women continued. Rock slides have closed the Zion-Mount Carmel Highway at times at the location the women started their hike. The storms are remnants of a Pacific tropical depression that's pushing moisture into parts of Nevada, Arizona, and Utah. On October 1st, people currently without health insurance will be able to sign up through Utah's online marketplace or exchange. Coverage will start on July 1st of next year. KCPW reporter Kim Shusky talked to Randall Sear from the Utah Health Policy Project about the individual marketplace and filed this report.
The October 1st deadline for setting up online healthcare marketplaces is fast approaching. Randall Sear is the director of Take Care Utah, a division of the nonpartisan Utah Health Policy Project. His group will play a big role in helping people sign up for insurance through this marketplace.
It's not going to be as easy as Travelocity, but it won't be as difficult as filing your taxes either.
Together with the United Way 211 and the Association of Community Health Centers, the group was recently awarded over $400,000 from the federal government in order to help people navigate the system. Sears says they have teamed up with other community groups such as the Gay Pride Center, Latino groups, and churches to reach out to specific populations of uninsured.
Under our grant, we are hoping to sign up around 50,000 individuals for health insurance, and we're hoping to do outreach, you know, touch at least over 200,000 people. So ambitious goals, but we're hopeful that's going to be the case, at least under our grant. Now, in Utah at large, there's about 400,000 people that don't have health insurance.
Three other groups, the Utah AIDS Foundation, Cardin Healthcare Network, and the National Council of Urban Indian Health, also receive funding to help inform and enroll individuals for healthcare coverage. Sears says they will hire navigators and counselors that can assist individuals in sorting through 99 insurance plans currently offered by 6 insurance companies.
So navigators can explain to you, you know, what a premium is and what a deductible is and those sorts of things, but they can't encourage you to buy one plan over the other. That's a choice that every individual signing up would have to make for themselves.
Nationwide, some concern has been raised about the training, qualifications, and screening of these navigators, since they will have access to personal information such as social security numbers.
There's going to be an ethics training. There's going to be a training on how to protect all sorts of personal information in accordance with HIPAA. So yeah, every navigator will be trained on those things.
Sears says regulations have not been finalized, but it's also likely that navigators will have to go through a background check. Early estimates for the price of insurance for Utahns that purchase it on the exchange were released last week.
At a first glance, it looks like it's going to be cheaper than what is being currently offered. And the reason for that is because on this website, all the plans are forced to go to the same place to compete for your business. So you can look at them side by side. That's why that's so important.
For example, a 40-year-old single person in Salt Lake County will pay between $173 to $271 per month for a plan that covers 70% of their medical costs. Tax subsidies based on income will reduce these prices further for some. The federal government estimates that 93% of the people that sign up for insurance through the exchange will qualify for these tax subsidies. While prices may vary based on age and number of family members, The insurers can no longer base prices on whether a person has a pre-existing condition or is female, says Sear.
There's not going to be such a thing as a pre-existing condition anymore. So when you used to sign up for insurance, it used to ask your medical history, you know, what surgeries do you have? What allergies do you have? Are you pregnant? Do you plan on being pregnant? All those sorts of questions are a thing of the past starting October 1st. So now everything, the only questions you have to ask are based on income, family size, those sorts of things, just basic demographic information.
Sear says they will primarily be helping individuals and families who purchase insurance on the individual exchange, which is managed through the federal government. Utah is managing its own small business exchange called Avenue H that will have its own navigators, insurers, and plans. Most individuals are required to have health insurance starting January 1st or face a penalty. For KCPW, I'm Kim Shusky.
Police have arrested four adults from Utah and Nevada and a 17-year-old girl accused of operating a St. George prostitution ring. St. George police say the sting operation was conducted Friday with the Washington County Sheriff's Office and the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Police say the case involved a minor that was transported across state lines for prostitution, and Homeland Security was conducting a human trafficking investigation. Officers say 32-year-old Bart Higby and 24-year-old Simon Kappel, both from St. George, as well as 23-year-old Leroy Haley and 20-year-old Francis Uren of Las Vegas, were arrested on prostitution, sexual solicitation, and business license violations. The teenage girl was charged with sexual solicitation and two business licensing violations. Her name has not been released because she is a minor. Investigators are trying to determine who caused thousands of dollars in damage to a Magna church over the weekend. Unified Police say someone broke in Saturday night or Sunday morning at Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church in Magna. Officials say statues were broken, items in the kitchen were knocked over and damaged, and fire extinguishers were sprayed throughout the building. Lieutenant Justin Hoyle of the Unified Police Department says that police recovered a few pieces of evidence but have not arrested any suspects. Officials are asking anyone with information to contact the police. Hoyle told the Salt Lake Tribune that while the church had been vandalized earlier in the year, the damage this time was not as severe. And that's our local news summary for the day. I'm Roger McDonough, and you're listening to The Rundown. Stay with us.